The following message, titled Encouragements to Evangelism, was based on 2 Kings 5, verses 1 through 19, and was delivered on Sunday evening, December 9, 2012, to Emmanuel Reformed Baptist Church of SeaTac, Washington, by Pastor Noble Vader of Berean Baptist Church, San Juan, Puerto Rico.
Well, again, it is a delight to have Pastor Noble Vader with us this evening. And brother, without further introduction, if you will come and preach the word to us. It's been good to be here among you. I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles tonight to a passage in the Old Testament in the book of 2 Kings. Rather imagine that this is a familiar passage to many of you in chapter 5, 2 Kings chapter 5. And I'm going to read down through verse 19. Now, Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. And before I go any further, I'm sure that neither Naaman nor his master said that the Lord had given victory, because we find out later in the passage his master worshiped the god Rimmon. So this isn't what they said. This is what the prophet's telling us, that even though they were saying that their gods gave the victory, that when a heathen king won battles over Israel, it was only because God wanted it that way. He couldn't have done anything unless the Lord had ordained that. And so the text tells us it was the Lord that gave victory to Syria, even though the Syrians didn't believe that themselves. We keep reading about Naaman. He was also a mighty man of valor, but a leper. And the Syrians had gone out on raids and had brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel. She waited on Naaman's wife. Then she said to her mistress, "If only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy." And Naaman went in and told his master, saying, "Thus and thus said the girl who is from the land of Israel." And then the king of Syria said, "Go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing. There's a lot of things in the MacArthur Study Bible that I don't agree with, but I reckon he knows how much, editors know how much 6,000 shekels of gold and 10 talents of silver are. They say it's 750 pounds of silver, and that's a lot of silver, and 150 pounds of gold. Now, don't get distracted and go calculate in your mind how much that is, but that's a lot of money. Anyway, he goes with a lot of money and 10 changes of clothing. And then he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which said, "Now be advised, when this letter comes to you, that I have sent Naaman my servant to you, that you may heal him of his leprosy." And it happened, when the king of Israel read the letter, that he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and make alive, that this man sends to me to heal him of his leprosy, that this man sends a man to me to heal him of his leprosy? Therefore, please consider and see how he seeks a quarrel with me." So it was, when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, "Why have you torn your clothes? Please let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." Then Naaman went with his horses and chariot, and he stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall restore to you, and you shall be clean." But Naaman became furious and went away and said, "Indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. Are not the Abana and the Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spoke to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says to you, 'Wash and be clean'?" So he went down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored, like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his aides, and came and stood before him, and he said, "Indeed, now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Now therefore, please take a gift from your servant." But he said, "As the Lord lives before whom I stand, I will receive nothing." And he urged him to take it, but he refused. So Naaman said, "Well, then, if not, please let your servant be given 2 mule loads of earth, for your servant will no longer offer either burnt offering or sacrifice to other gods, but to the Lord. Yet in this thing may the Lord pardon your servant, when my master goes into the temple of Rimmon to worship there, and he leans on my hand, and I bow down in the temple of Rimmon. When I bow down in the temple of Rimmon, may the Lord please pardon your servant in this thing." And then he said, "Go in peace." So he departed from him a short distance. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for preserving this revelation through ages, giving it to us in our own language. We thank you that you've given your Holy Spirit to illumine and instruct and to bring those words home to our heart. We thank you for Jesus Christ, the one through whom every good thing comes. And we ask that you would hear the prayers that have already been raised to you this evening. Draw near to us and bring us near to you, please, so that we might experience the good of being near you, of knowing you better, of learning from you. And may this time together be a time when your grace strengthens us, teaches us, and that we can serve you with zeal, with knowledge, with love. We ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This is one of the most interesting events in all of the scripture. There's things in it that I don't begin to understand. It was an unusual thing that God did when he healed Naaman. And it was something that's evidently full of meaning. I say it's unusual because up to this point, the only person we read about in Scripture that had been healed or cured or cleansed of leprosy was a woman, Moses' sister, Miriam. There, to my knowledge, there are no other records of that. And then on the authority of Jesus Christ, we can say Elisha didn't heal any other lepers, because Jesus said in Luke chapter 4, there were many lepers in Israel, and none of them were healed by Elisha except Naaman the Syrian. And he said that to show the Israelites they had no special claim on him, to indicate that he would actually carry the gospel to the Gentiles. So here's something that is just out, completely out of the ordinary. A Gentile, Syrian, enemy of Israel, cleansed of his leprosy. And then it's something that's full of meaning, because Jesus Christ selected this to show the Israelites that they didn't have any inherent right to miracles. He showed the Jews that they were like the Jews of Elijah and Elisha's time by inference. Unbelievers that didn't want to see the good, and indicated indirectly that he would be going to the Gentiles with his message and his salvation. But what I want to focus on tonight is some things that I hope will encourage us to evangelism. There's a lot of things we can learn here, but I want to focus on that. Some encouragements to evangelism that we can find here in this text. And the first thing I want us to notice is the goal that God accomplished in these verses. Now, no matter what you and I might think about Naaman's weakness in regard to going to the house of Rimmon with his master, maybe we think he should have just told the king, I'm sorry, I can't go to the house of Rimmon with you, and maybe given up his generalship, his job, maybe lost his head. We might think a lot of things about that, because he himself realized it was something he did not want to do. And he said, may the Lord forgive me when I go in there. The Lord knows that I'm not going in with all my heart doing this. The Lord knows I don't believe that Rimmon is anything. Now, no matter what we think about that, and I hope none of us are ever in a position where we have to make a choice, because maybe some of us would be inclined to lose our heads rather than do it. But whatever we think about it, and whatever we might think about his request to have 2 mules load of earth taken over to there to offer sacrifices to God, and whatever we think about his offering to pay the prophet for what he received, there's one thing for certain, and it seems that what God wanted Israel to see in this text, and what he wants us to see in this text, is how God brought a Syrian Gentile enemy to say, there's no God but the God of Israel. There's no other gods. And I think that's what we need to hear loud and clear. That confession that this Gentile Syrian made when he says, as we read in verse 15, now I know there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. And again, what especially there? There's no God in all the earth except in Israel. And in verse 17, he won't offer offerings except to any other gods but to the Lord. And that's a marvelous thing. That's something that I think all of us want to hear, is people confessing that only the Lord, only God is the Lord, only the Creator, only Jesus Christ is Savior. If that isn't something that moves you, well, maybe I'm not communicating well, or maybe you need to get your heart warmed up. But that's something that moves me. I find that to be a great thing, that this man, who was just a few minutes before furious in a rage, would come back and say, I know there's no God in all the earth except in Israel. This one that has healed me by these weak means that I didn't even want to accept, only he is the Lord. Now that's something that should move us to want to evangelize. We want to hear people confess the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to hear people say, he's the way, he's the truth, he's the life. To him be the glory. And that's something that should move all of us to want to carry the gospel to our children, to our neighbors, to people that surround us, because there's no one like Jesus Christ. And I suggest that that's the first thing in this text that we can see that should inspire us, should move us to carry the word of God, is that we want to hear people say what this man said, that there's no one like the Lord, no one like the Lord Jesus Christ. The second thing that I'd like to point out in this passage that I think should encourage us to evangelism is to notice the means that God used to bring this man to that confession. He used weak and despised means for the most part. Even though his servant Elisha, the prophet, was central in this matter, still, he would never have gotten to the prophet if it hadn't been for a little servant girl whose name we don't even know and whom I just do not understand. Or Elisha sends a messenger out. Elisha didn't even come out the first time. He sends a messenger out to give him a message, a very simple message. Go wash in the Jordan. Dip yourself in the Jordan 7 times and you'll be clean. And then finally, Naaman's own servants have to reason with him. So the Lord is using the lowliest people there are to work this work in him. Now think about that little maid. If righteousness had prevailed, she wouldn't even been where she was. She was stolen, taken away from her home, and ended up in Naaman's house serving his wife. If she had followed carnal thinking, because she must have really liked the guy for some reason. We don't know. We just have to speculate. You know, maybe Naaman saved her from being in a lot worse situation. Maybe they really treated her well. But for some reason, she wanted to see this man healed of his leprosy. Maybe she didn't want to be around a leper. I don't know what it was, but most people would rather give their master poison, I would think, than to want to see them healed of their leprosy. And she wasn't that way. And so she comes up with this suggestion, and I have no idea in the world. There's no explanation. The only person that was ever healed of leprosy, according to the Bible, was Miriam, an Israelite. Elisha never healed a leper. Nobody else had ever. And she says, if he's before the prophet, he'll be healed. Where did she get that? I don't know. Kids are crazy sometimes. But something happened. Something happened. And she knew there was enough knowledge in her, and maybe her parents had told her so much about this great prophet that she just imagines he can do about anything. And you know, some kids sometimes can get that idea, right? We talk so much about someone or something. I mean, there's some kids that think their daddy can fix anything, and then the day comes when they find out daddy can't do everything. But she has this idea that somehow, if he can get to that prophet, that the prophet can take care of his problem. And God did not disappoint her. He didn't shame her. Whatever, even though she had no basis in experience, nothing in the Bible, nothing that ever happened to make a statement like that, somehow God vindicated her faith. And God has a way of doing that sometimes. I'm going apart a little bit here. I remember one time when one of my daughters asked me to pray for a cat that was dying. And I didn't want to pray for that cat that was dying, because I was sure that cat was going to die, and I was going to be looking bad, or God was going to be looking bad, you know. But if I don't pray for the cat, okay, I'm not doing right as far as she's concerned. If I do pray for the cat and the cat dies, and so I felt like there's nothing to do. I just got to pray for that crazy cat. And the next thing I know, and I got some medicine from a neighbor, and the Lord blessed that medicine, and she comes home and the cat's alive. So I think, well, that was for her, because I sure didn't believe. I didn't have that kind of faith that God was going to raise up a crazy cat. So we have a girl here that has no reason at all to think that this is going to happen. But she says it's going to happen, and the Lord makes it happen. And I guess the next craziest thing, I think, is that Naaman believed her. Now, I guess they had heard enough things about the prophets in Israel to think, well, you know, maybe that's true, because God had done some really wonderful things in Israel over the years. And people had heard a lot of things about the Israelites. So he actually believed her enough to go to the king and ask about that. But the point I'm making, first of all, is that God took a little maid whose name we don't even know, that was stolen from her home, and it makes one simple statement. If he was before the prophet that's in Samaria, he would heal him. That's all she said. And the Lord takes that statement to move this man. When we come to the application, I'll just go ahead and say it now. We can say something very similar to that. We can say to any person that's like that leper, and all of us by nature are lepers. Now, some of you may not believe that, but that's what the Bible says. And we can say to any person, if you were before Jesus Christ, he would heal you. And we can say that with authority. We can say that because the Bible leads us to say it. We can say that because Jesus Christ has done that thousands and millions of times. He's cleansed the wicked. He's cleansed lepers in a figurative way. Because that's what we are. And all of us that are here that are saved by the grace of God, pardoned, made new, it's because we've been brought before Jesus Christ and he's done it. And someone's told us about him. That was the first thing, is that this unnamed girl. And so the second thing we see is that Naaman, with the help of his king, with a lot of pomp and wealth and show and politics, he goes down to Samaria. The king of Israel, sure, that King Assyria is just trying to pick a fight with him. Why would anybody ever ask a king to heal someone of his leprosy? Who's ever heard of that? And yet, Elisha hears about it, and he says, let him come down here, and he'll know that there's a prophet in Israel. God has a purpose. He wants to show that there are men, and the Israelites needed to learn that. They needed to listen to Elisha. They needed to listen to the message. And if God had to get the attention of the Israelites by healing a pagan general who was their enemy, he would do it. So Elisha said, let him come and find out that there is a prophet in Israel. There's someone that God is with and he can actually do this thing. So Naaman comes up in front of Elisha's place. And what's Elisha do? Well, Naaman thought he was going to come out and greet him, look at the spot, wave his hand over it, utter some words, some incantations or something, and the place would just go away. And Elisha doesn't even bother to come out. Doesn't even bother to say hi. Doesn't invite him in. Sends a messenger. If Elisha had more than one servant, it may not even have been Gehazi. It may have been somebody even lower than him. He sends a messenger out. And he tells him to go and to wash in the Jordan. 7 times. And your flesh will be restored to you and you'll be clean. Brief message. Not much there. That's it. He doesn't say anything else. And this is the way God has chosen to get to this man. He's going to just, Naaman has to accept that. That he's not important enough for the prophet even to come out and talk to him himself or to make any kind of incantations. He's got to accept a messenger telling him to go wash in what he considered a dirty old river, that all the waters of Israel aren't as good as the rivers of Damascus. That was the message. Go, wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh will be restored. And it was a messenger. No name given to him. We don't know his name. Maybe it was Gehazi, maybe it wasn't. It's not important. What was important in this case is the message. This is what the Lord is saying to him. That's the second thing the Lord used. He used a little maid, whose name we don't know, to stir up his interest. He uses a messenger to give him the message. And then the third thing is, of course, Naaman gets really angry. There's better water in Syria. I could wash there and be clean. And he's ready to wreck Samaria, probably, in his anger. And then his own servants start to reason with him. My father, if the prophet had asked you to do something really great, if he had asked you to go slay 10 dragons or whatever could be done, you'd be glad to do it. Why can't you just go dip yourself 7 times and see what happens, you know? Is that so hard? And so Naaman listens to his own servants reasoning with him. He didn't have much reason, but they had more than he had. He went down to the Jordan, dips himself 7 times, and his flesh becomes like a little child. Everybody amazed. So here's the third thing. Those servants of Naaman pleading with him, reasoning with him. And those are the means God uses. Yes, the prophet's there. Without the prophet, that wouldn't have happened. But he gets to the prophet by a little girl. He receives a message by a messenger the prophet sends out. He has to listen to his own servants in order to come enough to get to his senses enough to do what the prophet said. And then he's absolutely astounded at what the Lord did. So what can we learn from this? Well, like I mentioned before, we don't have to speculate about our prophet. We can be sure Jesus Christ can heal anyone. He can, he will, he's cleansed us, And we can say it with great conviction to anyone that we know. If you were before the prophet in heaven, he would heal you. You come before Jesus Christ with your need, recognizing what you need from him, your sins, and our greatest need is to have our sins taken away. And we come before the Lord Jesus Christ with that need of forgiveness of our sins and cleansing and a new heart, a new birth, and he can heal us. We know that. And we should be able to say that to the people that are around us and not let any adverse circumstances affect us. Just like the little girl that had been led captive, she was interested, for some reason, she was interested in Naaman's welfare. And we have many reasons to be interested in the welfare of others, because if they're saved, God gets all the glory. And isn't that what we want? If we're really people who belong to God, that's what we want. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. May your kingdom come and your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. We pray for that. We want that. And therefore, we need to be carrying the message to others. Now, I know there's a lot of people in the world that don't have something as wrong with them as obviously as a leper sore. And a lot of the people we meet think they're just fine. And we need to do what we can to bring them before God and his law. Even though down deep they know they're not fine. No one in this earth, because man's conscience tells him he's not okay. Just that people harden their hearts and they get so busy that they don't listen to it, and they compare themselves with each other, and the God of this world blinds the minds of the people. But we seek to have them realize you're a leper. Look, you got a spot. You got a bunch of spots. And once the Lord brings them to see their guilt, their need, we can point them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Do what that little girl did. And thinking about this, at one point, I thought, if you children got separated from your parents, and I hope that never happens, would you know enough about the Lord Jesus Christ to say, if you were before Jesus Christ, he would heal you? I trust that you parents are teaching your children enough that they would know that, and that you children have already learned enough that you're persuaded that Jesus Christ is the greatest and he can do anything. Another thing that we can learn also is that the message we have, in a sense, is a really offensive message. It's as offensive to some people as when Elisha sent the messenger to tell Naaman, go wash 7 times in the Jordan and you'll be clean. When people hear about Jesus Christ and his cross, that's a bunch of foolishness. A lot of people. How can that take away my sin and my guilt? How can that make me right with God? And Paul says that. To the Jews, it was a stumbling block. To the Greeks, it's foolishness. But to those that are called, it's the power of God. When Elisha sent that messenger to tell Naaman that, he didn't care, in a sense, what his reaction was. That was the word he needed to hear. And we can't change the message God has given us. We have to preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. Nothing else. Because that's the only word that we have that's a word of salvation. This is the means that God has chosen to make us right with himself. He gave his son to die in the stead of sinners as a substitute for sinners. And no matter how offensive that message may be to people, and some people today would practically count us as criminals for saying that Jesus Christ is the way and the truth and the life. There's no one that can come to the Father except by him. No other way. The prophet Muhammad is no good. And those are words that can get you killed in a lot of places. And the teaching of any other religion won't do it. It's the message that we have in the scripture that'll do it. And it's not a difficult message. We can tell about the Lord Jesus Christ, how that he's the Son of God, the Word made flesh. He represented sinners. He obeyed God's law. He went to the cross to die, to pay the penalty that we owe to God's law, to suffer the death that we deserve. And because of what Jesus Christ did, his obedience to death, God sets sinners free through faith in him. And we tell people, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. Kind of like, go dip into Jordan 7 times and you'll be clean. It's not a complicated message, but it's a message that makes a lot of people stumble, because a lot of people in this world want to be like Naaman's servant, his servant said. They want to do something great. They want to do something for their salvation. They want to feel like they've earned it. And it doesn't work that way. It's all by grace. And the fact that Elisha would not accept 1 cent, not 1 change of clothing from the man, shows us how that God wanted Naaman to understand that what he got was all of grace. It was a gift. Elisha wasn't doing it to get anything out of it. And that's why when later Elisha's servant goes and makes up a lie and takes something, that he's struck with the leprosy, because he was undermining the whole message of grace. We can't do that. We must not do it. We must always show to sinners that God's gift of salvation is a gift. Everything is of grace. And even in our churches and even in our person, we need to communicate to people that we're not trying to get them in to get what they've got. The only thing we want from them is for them to give glory to God. And to hear a person say, now I know there's no God except the God of Israel, it's worth it all. Everything that we work for and preach for and strive for, that's what we want to hear. We're not in this for our own personal gain. We're in this so that God gets the honor and the glory. Then even that last bunch of servants that reasoned with him. I know that men outside of Christ, they really can't reason in a sense. They're just as unreasonable as Naaman was. Well, aren't the rivers of Damascus better? But we go ahead and reason with them anyway. And we should reason with them, because we never know when God may use our weak reasonings to say, okay, let me come. It may seem pretty weak to say, well, I've tried everything else, let me try Christ. But I really don't believe that if anybody is brought to that point, that God's going to throw them out. Because if you really come to Christ, nothing else, no one else. I don't have any, I've tried everything. Lord, have mercy. Lord, save me. I don't know of any cases where the God said, nah, I don't want somebody like you. He can show you, look what you've missed all your life. Look what there is in my son. Well, they reasoned with him. God had asked you to do something great. When you've done it, what's the problem? And so we say to you all, what's the problem? You young people, what's the problem? You think you need to try this and that and the other, and it's not going to bring you any happiness, any true lasting happiness. Maybe a little bit of momentary enjoyment, maybe. And you can mess up your life for a long time if you don't listen to the Lord. What's the problem? Come to Him. Maybe there's some people here tonight that are like Naaman. You got a problem. Because eventually leprosy was going to eat that guy's body up, and he was just going to die a bad death. And God saved him. And sin may be eating some of you up. And you don't have any real future. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Forget about yourself. Remember what He says. His way is the best way. There's nothing better than following the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you've heard the message again. And it's come in a weak way through an earthen vessel. Nothing special here. None of us are really special people. But God speaks through earthen vessels, weak vessels, in a place like this. And here's where He brings His message to you. And He's pointing out to you one more time, look at the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Him and be saved. I trust that God will encourage us to evangelize, knowing that God will bring people to Himself and He'll get the glory. And not to worry about how weak we may be. God uses weak and simple means to get the gospel. And just to be faithful, like the little maid was, like the messenger was, even like Naaman's servants, reason with him. May God give us the grace to be faithful in that, to look and long for the salvation of sinners. And if there's anyone here that has not come to Jesus Christ to be saved, you've heard the word before, you're hearing it again. May right now, this night, be the time when in your mind and in your heart, you say, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner. I need your forgiveness. I need the life that you alone can give me. And come to Him with your hands empty. And He has promised not to cast out anyone that comes to Him. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for Your grace. We thank You for the wonders that You've done. We thank You for what You did in the case of this Syrian leper that gave glory to You. And we ask that we would see that work repeated in many ways here in this place and around the world, that You would bring men to Yourself, worshipers. You seek worshipers, and we thank You for that, because You've brought us to worship You. And we ask that You would fill us with that desire to see many giving honor and glory to Jesus Christ, and that we would be instruments in Your hands to carry that message to others. Forgive us for our lack of zeal. Forgive us for the weakness of our faith. Lord, help us to do those things that are pleasing to you and to carry the good news to those around us. May our sons and our daughters, our grandchildren, and others hear and believe. Raise up a generation to serve you. We bring these things before you, not because of anything in us. There's nothing in our flesh that's good before you. We bring these things before you for your own name's sake and in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.